Okay, you've seen it in this. You've also, and I don't know if you have, if you've caught on to this, but it has also been kind of a theme. It's incorporated a lot into some of the song selection that Jocelyn has made for us in our worship time. It's also been a very prominent theme in all of my messages. Today, you know, I'm actually going to really kind of dial in on this, and I want to answer a very important question, which is, and not necessarily a question you've asked, but I think it's an important question that we should be thinking about, which is, why? Why only Jesus? Why is that our theme? Why did I choose that as a theme for the vision of our church in this year? Why is that so important? The answer is actually really, really simple. The answer is that without the Jesus part, okay, without Jesus, God is one of the most terrifying things you could possibly think about. Without the Jesus component, and that's what I want to talk about today is, why is it so important for us that Jesus is a part of that? You know, I've said that I've made a couple of statements many, many times. I'm going to say them again here, and I'm actually going to put them up here for you. You do not want God to be your God. Now, I know you, some of you are looking at me like, what do you mean? I don't want God to be my God. No, no, no. You don't want God to be your God. You see, the Hittites and the Amalekites and the Philistines and the people of Sodom and Gomorrah and the people, you know, 4,500 years or so ago who were alive in Noah's day, God was their God, okay? You don't want God to be your God. What you want and what I want is we want God to be our Father. Amen. Our Father. And let me just skip to the end of the message to give you a preview. The reason that we have God as our Father and not as our God is because of Jesus. Amen. And only because of Jesus. That's why we talk about only Jesus. You know, see, the people of Noah's day found out what it's like to have God be their God. The people who were living in Sodom and Gomorrah found out what it's like to have God be their God. And that is not something that you and I want. And they found out what it's like. We get to find out what it's like for God to be our Father. If you have come to God through Jesus, not through Muhammad, not through good works, not through baptism, not through church membership, but if you've come to God through Jesus, then God is your Father. And that is a big, big deal. And that's what I want to talk about today. I just want to share with us why it's so important and what is so amazing about that. So those who choose to refuse for God to be their Father, who choose to refuse Jesus, well, God continues to be their God. And you know, the Bible says that the wrath of God abides still on them. Now, here at New Hope, well, I'll get to that here in just a minute. There are and will always be a series of what I guess I would call opposing characteristics of God. You know, there's kind of two sides, like a coin has two sides. There are some opposing characteristics of God. I want to share with you, what some of those are. For example, there is something called the wrath of God that has to be balanced out or it needs the mercy of God. See, without the mercy of God, the wrath of God is all-consuming. Secondly, there is something called the justice of God. You see, the wrath of God comes because of our sin. The justice of God then, God is a just God, folks. God has to be angry with sin because he is a holy and perfect and righteous God. Now look, let me just tell you right up front. For some of you are going to love this message because it's very churchy. For those of you who don't, you need churchy sometimes. Amen. We all need churchy sometimes, okay? But the justice of God is where God says, look, there is a balance in the universe. God created a balanced world. And he said, sin has to be balanced out. And that's the justice. The justice of God is the balanced scales. Without the forgiveness of God, then the justice of God would be devastating for all of us, would it not? Amen. How many times have you heard me say, and you probably say it as well, I don't want what I deserve. I don't want what I deserve. And so the justice of God has to be balanced out with the forgiveness of God. And finally, then, there is something called the judgment of God. You see, the justice of God demands judgment. The justice of God says you have an uneven scale, and therefore you owe. There is a penalty. There is a punishment. There is the wrath of God waiting to fall. But that has always had to be balanced out with a substitute. You see, in the Old Testament Jews, they balanced out that. Look, they knew the wrath of God was upon their sin. They knew that. But in order to receive mercy, they had to deal with the justice of God, which he wanted to forgive, but that required some judgment. And the judgment was balanced out by them offering a substitute of an animal. Look, if you're a part of PETA, you probably don't want to read the Old Testament. There's a lot of dead animals in the Old Testament. Now look, I'm an animal lover. God is an animal lover. Do you know God commands people in the book of Proverbs that he said it is a foolish and wicked man that does not treat his what he calls beast or his animals right. Yep. Animals should be treated properly. They're not on the level with people, but they should be treated properly. But in the Old Testament, there had to be a substitute, and God said, "I will accept temporarily a substitute for your judgment. I'll accept an animal as a sacrifice." But that wasn't good forever. There had to become a permanent substitute, and so on. So you get that. So all of these answers, mercy, forgiveness, and a substitute, they all came to us in the form of one man, and his name is Jesus. Amen. See, Jesus took the wrath of God was upon mankind, but Jesus came along and asked his Father to show mercy. The justice of God demanded a verdict. The justice of God demanded that sin be paid for, but Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do." And finally, we know he backed that up by saying, "I understand there has to be a judgment on sin." And the Bible says he became sin for us. And he took it upon himself and was nailed to a cross as our substitute. Now, that's kind of the theological background then for what we're talking about. Now, here at New Hope, we often focus on the positives. And I try to do that, the positives of Jesus. But occasionally, I feel like I need to take a time and remind us there's more to God than just Jesus loves me. There's more to God for that. And so, but in doing so, that also brings out why it's so important that we focus on Jesus. So there's a huge theological concept that I've been reminded by two of my church members this week that I love, because I love everybody and care for everybody very much. But these are two people who took the time to ask me some questions or draw my attention to a concept that actually fits in with this very well. So that brings about a theological concept that is really critical. Our Wednesday night group. They're helping me to kind of dial in on what are the really, really important things. And one of the things that we've been talking about, one of the important things that our church has to know, or the pillars of our church, the pillars of truth, and one of those is something called the Trinity. The Trinity. We don't talk about it a lot, although we allude to it a lot. We'll mention, the different parts of the Trinity. So what is the Trinity? Well, the Trinity, very simply, is three persons of God in one. There are three parts of God, and it's kind of hard to understand. All right, what are they? There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. God the Father is what we read about mostly in the Old Testament. The Son, of course, is Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit is that part of God that comes to live within us once we accept Jesus as our Savior. But I want you to notice which one is right in the middle of this. It's Jesus. Because Jesus is the way that is the only way we can have God become our Father. Amen. Jesus is also the only way that you can have the Holy Spirit live inside of you. Right. We have to come through Him to get the others. But this is what the Trinity is. And when we talk about the Trinity, I can speak for months on this. By the way, the Holy Spirit is also called the Holy Ghost in different parts of Scripture. There are a lot of ways we can try to understand this. A lot of people have questions about it. They say, well, look, I just don't get this Trinity thing. How can three distinct people, and by the way, the Holy Spirit is a person, not a thing. Jesus is a man God. He was 100% man and 100% God. And of course, there's God the Father, which the Bible says is a spirit. But we have this thing where they say, well, how can one be three? How can you have three distinct persons in one person? That doesn't make any sense. And I've heard lots of illustrations. You probably have heard all kinds of illustrations. I would not suggest that you Google what is the Trinity, because you'll get all kinds of weird stuff, because anybody can put something online that wants to. But here's, for me, this is the best way that I know to explain this. What is the Trinity? How can three different persons be one? It really, we have to understand God in terms of the role that he plays at different parts of the world, different times in the world, and different parts of our lives. For example, Mike down here. There's a lot of things that I could call Mike. In fact, there are a lot of things I've called Mike. But there's a lot of things I could call Mike. I could say Mike is a father. He's a father to Presley, who is now his favorite. Right, Christy? Yeah. No, I think it's Presley. But Ireland can make a pretty good case for number two. And but he's a father to five girls. But he's also a son. He has a father as well and a mother. He is also a son. Now, his relationship with his daughters is completely different. His relationship with his daughters is more authoritarian. Authoritative. He's a jerk. That's all I'm saying. No, but his role with them is more of an authority figure, okay, and a leader, kind of like God the Father is the authority. He is the ruler of this world. But he's also a son to his father. He doesn't treat his father the way he treats his daughters. He treats them appropriately, both directions, but differently. But he's still the same person. And in the same way, he's also a husband. He doesn't treat Amanda the way that he treats his children. And now, she treats him the way he treats his children. But it's different. But it's the same person. You get that? He's also a citizen. He's also part of our church. So one person can be many people by a different kind of a role with them. And that's how the Trinity relates to us. There is God our Father, and there is God our Son, or His Son, and there is God the Holy Spirit in each one of our lives. Now, today, then again, the point though is I want to make this point, because I talked to you a lot about God the Father and how scary it would be if He was just your God. If we didn't have Jesus, it would be a terrifying, terrifying thing. If we could somehow go back and become a small boy in Egypt, a firstborn son, you know, in those few moments when the death angel passed over Egypt. See, wait a minute, I thought God was love. I thought God is, does the Bible say God is love? Yes, it is. He is love to his own. Listen, folks, I'm just going to speak the truth to you today. God is love to his own. But if they're not his own, there is wrath, there is justice, and there is judgment. The Egyptians found that out when they kept God's people as slaves and wouldn't let them go. When Pharaoh refused to let them go, God sent his angel to pass over Egypt, and every firstborn child died. You mean God killed little boys? Yes, God killed little boys. I know that's not popular right now. I know that's not, and that's not what we usually talk about around here. I get that. But it's my job to teach the whole of the scriptures, yes? And understanding who God really is a part of that. But that's why Jesus came. You see, Jesus came because there was a need. God wanted to not be God anymore. He wanted to be a father to the whole world. That's why Jesus came, and in John 3:16 he said, "For God so loved the whole world that he gave his only begotten Son." So we have this concept though of the Trinity. So today I just want to talk about two things that I want to share with you. Because of Jesus, because of Jesus, we don't need to fear God the Father anymore. You don't have to be afraid of God the Father. He's not your God, he's your Father, if you know Jesus, if you've come through Jesus Christ. Amen. He's your Father now. You don't have to be afraid of your Father. But we also need to understand why we can rejoice in the Holy Spirit. Because we can be one with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will come and live inside of us. The Holy Spirit is what seals us, the Bible says, until the day. That means he keeps us God's own until the day that Jesus comes back. But again, it's all because of Jesus. So You know, as we talk about what the Trinity is, I wanted to touch on this. See, the Old Testament Jews, all they really knew was God the Father. That's all they really knew. They didn't know. They knew that there was a Messiah that was promised, but they didn't know the name Jesus, and they didn't know that he was going to be the Son of God, and they didn't understand all of that. For them, it was a very impersonal relationship with the Father. For them, it was, I have to go to a priest, and I have to bring my own substitute for my sin. If I want to be forgiven, if I want to find mercy instead of wrath, I have to bring a substitute to satisfy that justice and judgment of God. And they had to do that themselves. And so the Old Testament is filled with, even God's people only knew a fairly impersonal God. They came to a priest to say, what do I have to do to be okay with God? And the priest would go to God for them. And that was kind of where it was. And the Holy Spirit was something that only came, really, if you really read through the Old Testament, you'll find the Holy Spirit was something that came only to certain people. He only came and indwelled certain people like kings or prophets so that they could lead into battle or so that they could share the message from God. That was the Holy Spirit that only came to them. Everybody else had to sort of come and get from that person what the power of the Holy Spirit. Are you with me so far? Amen. And so... so they didn't know that. Even David, in that great Psalm 51, if you read through that, David, the king, the man after God's own heart, after he committed the sin with Bathsheba, the Bible says he got on his face and he said, God, please take not your Holy Spirit from me. You see, because in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit might come, but sin would cause him to leave. And, you know, the King Saul found that out. King Saul was the first king of Israel. The Holy Spirit came in him, and he led God's people until he sinned certain things, and the Holy Spirit left him and never returned. This is why we should be so grateful for Jesus. Because it's not that way for you. You're not an Old Testament person. You're not an Old Testament Jew. You're a New Testament, born-again believer in Jesus Christ, if you've come through the Son. And because of that, God is now your Father, not your God. And you can have the Holy Spirit of God come and live within you and stay. Now, let me prove those things to you so there's no question about it, and then we'll go home. So, let me say, so what changed? What changed was Jesus. What changed your relationship with God the Father? Jesus did. What changed your relationship with the Holy Spirit? Jesus did. Let's take a look at it. Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse number 32. I want to show you an amazing thing. And Sherry, this is where, when you filled in for Ken and Kim, this is what I was trying to write down when I asked to borrow a pen there, because it just jumped out at me when you read this scripture. So Ephesians 4:32, Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus, and he's talking about forgiveness. But I want you to notice a very important part of this. He said, be kind one to another. Now, if we could spend right there. I could stop right there and preach a whole message on that. And that is something that our country desperately needs right now. We need a good dose of kindness. Our families need a good dose of kindness. Our neighborhoods, our churches, we need kindness in our world. Be kind one to another. Tenderhearted. Forgiving one another. Time out. This is the part of the verse where everybody says, yeah, you know what? No. No. I'm not forgiving that person. Because she hadn't even said, I'm sorry. He hasn't even said, I'm sorry. He hasn't even admitted what he did wrong. I don't read there where Paul said, forgive if they apologize. If they acknowledge. If they make it up to you. If there's some restitution. He said, be kind one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Now, here's the reason why. You say, well, I don't have to. I shouldn't have to. God could not expect me to do that. Oh, really? Because I want you to see why he forgave you. Hint, it wasn't because of you. And it wasn't because he loved you or me. Watch. He said, why forgive? Why should you forgive? Because God... the Father, for Christ's sake, his Son, forgave you. Amen. You see, Brother Kip, God didn't forgive me because he loves me. Amen. He forgave me because he loves Jesus. Amen. But watch. But Jesus loves me. Right. And because Jesus loves me, then God has forgiven me because Jesus asked him to. Amen. And he loves Jesus. But it gets better. Because Jesus loves me, God is willing to adopt me and become my father, and now he loves me. Did you get that? God didn't forgive me because he loves me. He forgave me because he loves Jesus. And because he loves Jesus, and Jesus loves me, he was willing to adopt me into his family. Somebody ought to say hallelujah at that. I know that's not the kind of church we have, and I know we don't get crazy, and don't get crazy on me. But man, are you kidding me?
Hallelujah.
And because of that, because of Jesus loves me, God said, I'll bring you into my home. I'll adopt you. You're part of my family now, and I love you. But it gets better. Because God said then, now you're part of my family. I don't just love you, but I'm going to come and live inside of you.
Amen.
I'm going to come and be with you every step of the way in your life.
Amen.
I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. And he's doing that in the form of what? Who?
Jesus.
The Holy Spirit. Yeah, through Jesus, but in the form of the Holy Spirit comes to live within you. So watch. And he says, and when I come to you, it's not going to be like it was with David. Not going to be like it was with Ezekiel. You can read all kinds of scriptures in the Old Testament that talk about the Holy Spirit leaving somebody. That is not how it is with the Holy Spirit today.
Amen.
Because they didn't have Jesus in the Old Testament, but you do.
Amen.
I do. Let me show it to you. Take a look at, John chapter 14 and verse number 26. We just saw why we don't need to fear God the Father anymore. Now let's look at why we can rejoice in the Holy Spirit, because Jesus said, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send, because he loves you? No. In my name. Because I asked him to. He's going to send the Holy Ghost to you, and the Holy Ghost will teach you all things and bring all things to your memory that I have told you. See, this is what happened to the disciples. When the Holy Spirit came in Acts chapter number 2, they suddenly realized, it's like, oh my goodness, now I remember. He said he was going to do this. Right, Randy? He said, he told us he was going to die and he was going to rise again, he was going to go back to heaven. He told us all that. Now I remember. You know, John is like, oh, how could I forget those things? And Peter was like, man, I'm so stupid. We heard that. Why didn't we believe it at the time? And when he was crucified, we all ran and hid. And what were we thinking? We should have known. He said, I'll remind you. He will remind you of all things that I've told you. Then he went on. Look at the next verse, please. He said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's good for you that I go away. This is Jesus talking. He said, listen, I'm going to go back to heaven, and that's a good thing for you. That's a good thing for you. You came to God became your father through Jesus, but Jesus said, you need me to go away. Because if I don't go away, the Comforter will not come to you. But if I go, what? He said, I'll send him to you.
Amen.
I'll send him to you. I'll send the Holy Spirit to live inside of you. The Holy Spirit will help you get through this week, folks.
Amen. Amen.
That heartache that you're dealing with right now that you think nobody else knows, somebody else knows.
Amen.
His name is the Holy Spirit. That problem relationship that you think is impossible to deal with and impossible to fix, he is aware of that because he never left. When you hit your rock bottom, you know, when you had that relapse, he was there. Now, we'll talk next week about what happens to him when that happened, but he never left you. He never left you. And by the way, let me just say, you'll hear some Christians, some good people, some good pastors that will try to tell you that if you sin a certain number of sins or a certain kind of sins, if you hit the magic number, that the Holy Spirit's going to leave you. That is wrong.
Amen.
That's either a lie or that person is ignorant.
Amen.
Because let me show it to you in the words of Jesus. The words of Jesus, look at the next verse. Chapter 14, verse 16, he said, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, and he will stay with you until you sin the wrong sin. And until you do the really bad one. Until you disappoint everybody in your life. No, he said, he will stay with you forever. Listen, don't you let anybody tell you that you can lose your salvation once you have it. You didn't save yourself, you can't give it away, you can't lose it. You didn't save yourself, you can't keep yourself saved.
Amen.
He said the Holy Spirit will come and live in you forever. But that's different from the Old Testament, isn't it? Why? Say it. Only Because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. This is why we're talking about only Jesus. Because of Jesus, we don't have to be afraid of God anymore. Because he's our Father. And we don't have to be afraid of losing the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will come to us because of Jesus, and he'll stay with us because of Jesus. Jesus is the one who sent him to you. See, Jesus can't physically be with Jessica right now. Jesus couldn't be with Jessica and Dylan when they lost Landon a few years ago. But the Holy Spirit was.
Amen.
And their church family was, and their families were. And that's what connects all of us, is this Holy Spirit influence. We talked about that last week. The one thing that every believer in Jesus has in common, even when they disagree on everything else and they're fighting and it's bitter and it's horrible, there's something that we all have in common, and that is the Holy Spirit is inside of each one of us.
Amen.
And that is the third part of God. Now, next week, I'll be talking about why the Holy Spirit. But today, let me just close out. Because of Jesus, we have a substitute for judgment. And we get forgiveness instead of justice. And we get mercy where we deserve wrath. And without Jesus, all those other things are still there. See, God the Father didn't change when Jesus came along. But because of Jesus, God changed how he dealt with you and me.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for Jesus. And that's how we need to live. May I just say, if you have religion but you don't have Jesus, please hear me and I'm done. If you have religion but you don't have Jesus, you still have wrath, justice, and judgment upon you.
That's right.
I'd rather you hear it from me than at the great white throne.
Amen.
You have those still hanging on to you. If you don't have Jesus, but instead you thought there was some other way, maybe you thought you could earn your way or buy your way or trust Muhammad or Buddha or something else, or maybe spiritual, maybe you just have this idea, and I get it, I get why you would think this, but you think, well, God's kind of everywhere. He's in the trees and he's in the air and he's all this, he's in all of us. He's not in you if you don't believe in Jesus. If you haven't come through Jesus, he's not in you. And I want you to know the truth. He's not in you. But if you come through Jesus, that means you realize that Jesus is your only... He called himself the door, didn't he? John chapter 10, he said, I'm the door. You want to come into the sheepfold? You want to come in and be a part of one of God's? You got to come through me. Come through the door. Now, some people might say, boy, that was so arrogant of him to say that. It wasn't arrogant because he was God's son and he was the door.
That's right.
Look, if this is... Do you see this sign up here? It says exit. Is it arrogant for that door to think it's the exit to the outside? If its building catches on fire, don't you want the door to be clearly labeled? You want to know how to get out of here, right? If it catches on fire, or if I go for like 3 hours, you want to know how to get out of here, right? Of course you do. And Jesus wanted you to know the most important door ever is him. If he's the only way to get to God, he was so gracious and kind and loving to label himself.
Amen.
And say, look, just come through me. You're gonna try your whole life to be good enough. You're never gonna get there. You'll never be good enough. Just come through me. Just come through me.
Amen.
Just trust me. I've already been your, he says, I've already been your substitute. Come through me. And even today, if you have come through Jesus, then please know this, and we'll talk next week. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you. And he's not just there because he has nowhere else to go. He's there for a reason. We'll talk about that next week. Would you bow your head with